freely in our culture. At least we can today. And so we pray we use that. So excited. God's moving. Amen. Last 2 weeks, and by the way, how many of y'all are visitors here? How many of y'all are visitors? Raise your hand. Let's give all the visitors a hand. Amen. Let me make a very quick announcement to everybody but the visitors. This is not for the visitors. The last 2 weeks, I mentioned that we had a financial need here, and that financial need is because our ministry is growing and our giving is not keeping up with the ministry expansion. So I want to encourage you, because it's becoming more and more acute. That means sharp. That means serious. So I want to encourage you, especially as we give at the end of the service, all the campuses are going to take the offerings separately, but I want to say to all the campuses that if you, this is your church, I want to encourage you just to do what God told you to do. If you made a pledge, keep the pledge. If you're a member here and you walk with God, you should be tithed, and I want to encourage you to do that because we need it. We can't do what we do. We make our commitments based on what God has told us and as far as also what people have said they're going to do. So we're moving forward. We need you to move forward and do that part. So we're going to take the offering at the end, but I wanted to say that to all the campuses because it is a need that we have to address. Amen? Amen. Y'all ready? How many of y'all want God to use you to be a blessing to somebody else? Very good. How many of you want God to use you in a supernatural way to be a blessing to someone else? So I'm going to propose to you this. If that is going to happen, and you are going to have to allow God to use you to be a blessing to someone who doesn't like you. You're going to have to let God use you to be a blessing to someone who is going to hurt you or who already did hurt you. You can't come to God and say, God, I got conditions. I got conditions. We are going to encourage you today to be part of ministry, outreach ministries, but we want you to come and say, Lord, I'm ready for whatever, however you want to use me. Okay? Our mission here is save, equip, send. Everyone say save, equip, send. Say save.
Save.
Say equip.
Save.
Say send.
Save.
Our vision is pervasive hope. Say pervasive hope.
Pervasive.
That means reaching everybody everywhere. Okay, the Bible says you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And too many Christians, and I say too many, and I'm generalizing based on the information that I know is pretty credible, that too many Christians are so concerned about sending money and people overseas and not going right down the street. The people in your house, the people in your neighbors, the people at your job, and it's so easy for us to go to Africa or India where they really need the gospel. Let me tell you fact. There are more miracles going on over there than here. There are more people being raised from the dead over there from here. Yes, being raised from the dead. Blind healed. Deaf healed. Why? Somehow faith is moving better over there than here. They're sending missionaries here. I am a missionary from Africa. Your country needs God. You think I'm lying? I ain't lying. I meet missionaries from Africa. Hey, come here. Why? Because we think we got God in our money, in our things, in our wealth. And God said, no. So if we're going to, we got to take care of home. So I want to show you some stats. Let's go to the stats real quick on the screen real quick. We're going to show you some stats about San Diego. We saw it very, very good. We saw this last week, 10,000 homeless people, 1 in 4 between the ages of 18 and 30. Homeless people, 18 and 30. 130,000 San Diego's out of work. 431 violent crimes, 3,600 aggravated assaults, 70,000 reported cases of child abuse, 7,600 arrests of drug charges, and 5,800 DUIs annually. Next slide. Boom. San Diego, 15% live under the poverty line, okay? 15%. Toys for Joy, last year we gave out 10,000 bags of groceries, 10,000 toys, 100-something thousand articles of clothing, and that was on one day at Lincoln High School. We're going to do it again December 14th. It's in your bulletin. Bring a toy. 2,500 volunteers. Come and volunteer. It'll change your life. We've been doing this since we started this before the church, 3 or 4 years before the church. Our ministry started. It's amazing. Okay? That's just one thing we do. We do stuff all year long. Bring a toy, please. Next slide. Human trafficking. 2,500 cases of human trafficking in California. San Diego is one of the highest ports for human trafficking. What does that mean? They steal a person and make them a slave. They steal a person and make them a slave. You drive by places in San Diego that are unknown, they're all around here, where they're held as slaves and having sex. Matter of fact, we had a young lady here, Christine Kane. That's her ministry, human trafficking. She met women, rescued women that were having sex 100 times a day. How do you do that? 100 times a day. They're just a piece of meat to those people. God loves those girls and guys. Okay? We got ministry out there, hidden treasures that ministry ministers to women here and children in San Diego. Go get involved. Go get involved. Next one. Next one. Domestic violence, 15,000 reported cases. Only 10% gets reported. That means there's about 150,000 people. Some of y'all in here are beating your wife. God, get that guy. Some of you women are abusive. Okay? Domestic violence ministry, doll ministry, birthday blessing, sexual abuse recovery ministries, all those ministries are in the lobby getting information. We got 140 of them. Okay? Next one. Suicide. 412 people die every year. Those aren't the people who attempt suicide and don't succeed. Thank God. 412. There's only 365 days a year. That means more than one person a day kills himself successfully. More than one person a day says, there's no hope for me to live, so I'm going to end my life here in San Diego, right in our neighborhood. Some of them are you. God loves them. How many of you have ever thought, I want to kill myself? I'll be the first to raise my hand. I've never had a gun in my head, but I'm like, okay, let me say this. How many of y'all thought, man, I sure can't wait to get to heaven? Okay, that's Christian suicide. That's Christian suicide. Come back, Lord. Come back, Lord. The devil wants you to just give up. He wants you to give up. Here's why I do not want Jesus to come back anytime soon. Because if he came back today, people are going to go to hell. We got work to do. Amen? Is there another slide? Oh, we got grief ministry, suicide ministry. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Remember, our vision is pervasive hope. Everyone say pervasive hope. Say pervasive hope. That means hope everywhere. What does pervasive mean? It means everywhere. Today, we have three campuses, North County, Point Loma, East County. We have now over 800 community groups and 140 outreach ministries that deal with all the stuff I was just talking about. Matter of fact, those 142 outreach ministries minister to over 17,000 people every month. Out there, more people that come to church in this building are ministered out there by those ministries, okay? And by 2020, our vision, provided people step up and volunteer and give and pray and doors open, here's what we want to have. And by 2020, we want to have 10 campuses, amen? And 2,400 small groups and 500 outreach ministries. Now, you look at all those dots, that's a lot of folks doing a lot of stuff. That's what we're talking about. Amen? But here's what it's going to require. Us to be humble servants and to serve people that hurt us. Turn to John chapter 13. John 13. Jesus at the Last Supper, he just finished eating. He's going to take a towel, take his robe off, take a towel, put it around his waist, and he's going to wash his disciples' feet. Verse 6, he came to Peter and said, and Peter said, Lord, are you washing my feet? Verse 7, Jesus said, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will after this. And Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. If I don't wash you, you have no part with me. And Peter said, well, Lord, wash my feet and my hands and my head. He kind of went crazy with it, okay? Jesus said, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. In Jesus' culture, the roads were obviously dirt. They didn't have pavement or concrete. They wore sandals, not Nikes. And when you went over someone's house, you would take a bath, clean your body, put your sandals on, walk through the dirt, or if it was muddy out, mud, get to the house and your feet were all dirty. And they would have a servant at the front door, especially if they were wealthy or you went to some banquet, and they would have a servant there with water and a towel, and they would wash your feet before you came into the banquet or to a guest house. Okay? And if you were a rabbi, you had a disciple who would wash your feet when you would go into houses. That was one of their roles. But in this case, Jesus' disciples were having a dinner, and they had no one to wash their feet. So what Jesus is going to do, he says, listen, even though I am the teacher and you are my disciples, I am the rabbi, you are my students, I am going to wash your feet. And so he took his robe off, wrapped a towel around his waist, and he washed their feet. And look what he says at the end of the verse, at the end of the chapter. It says in verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. We're talking about serving our people in our community. I want you to think about some group of people, an affinity group, homeless, women, children, men, prostitutes, drug addicts, elderly. What group of people breaks your heart? Now, you may say, well, I don't think of anybody. Oh, dang. So when you wake up, do you only think about yourself? What am I going to eat? How am I going to look? What am I going to do? What am I going to get? What is everybody going to do for me? That is selfish. That's not God. That's not God. That's you. Instead of saying, Lord, how do you want to use me? And I want to challenge you, what group of people in San Diego or wherever you live breaks your heart that you want to serve? That's where you're going to grow and learn. That's how God wants to use you. So what God is saying, Jesus is saying here is, look, you disciples, you guys, you know we got to get our feet washed. You know our feet is dirty. And when we go to a house or a banquet, someone washes our feet. Well, how come none of y'all stepped up to be a servant? All the guys in here, if you're a man, raise your hand. Amen. Very good. Keep your hand up real high. Look around the room. Everyone look around the room. All the ladies say, hey. All those men. God made you a servant. Now my family's supposed to serve me. My wife's supposed to submit to me. That's right. She's supposed to submit to you, but the Bible says you're supposed to die for her. He's like, we didn't say that. I ain't see that. I missed that verse. The Bible says a woman's supposed to submit to a husband, but it says that the husband's supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church. What did he do for the church? He died. He died. Servant. Jesus says, I want you to follow my example. When you go sign up for a ministry, whether it be here or at your house, or when you go and serve at your house or at your job, be a servant. But Jesus was saying something even in addition to that. He was saying, you have to serve people who are going to betray you. Why? Judas. He's washing his feet going, Judas, I know you're going to betray me for some money. Go do what you got to do, homie. Wash his feet. Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times with curse words. But I'm washing your feet too. Jesus is saying, listen, if I wash the feet of the people I knew were going to betray me, how much more do you got to wash the feet of people you know are going to betray you? Or people who have betrayed you? I always wondered, why did Jesus pick Judas if he knew he was going to betray him? Just to teach us a lesson. And guess what? He let Judas be charged with the money. Why did he do that? Don't worship your money. I'm not worshiping my money. God's going to provide. We be a good steward. You do the best you can, but in the end, you worship God. And you look to God for your security. Okay? And so Jesus is saying, listen, when I call you to serve, I don't want you to come with all these, well, I need this, I need this, I need this. If you go sign up for a ministry, you are signed up in a ministry with flawed people. It's not going to be perfect. Get over it. Neither are you. Say, listen, us imperfect people, we're going to work together. Amen? And you serve. And then when you go out and you go out to the community, the devil's going to mess things up. You deal with it. You come to church, we're all flawed. The parking's not perfect. The children's ministry's not perfect. The worship, nothing's perfect. And neither is your perception of what is even good. Even your perception will make something good bad because you ain't perfect.
They ain't doing it right.
Yes, they are. You just don't understand. Or they're not doing it right. And they're human. I was watching a football game yesterday, and the quarterback threw two interceptions, and he's doing an amazing job. He may win the Heisman. We don't know, but they said, he's human. And they asked him after the game, what did you think about those two interceptions you threw? And he's just smiling. He says, I smile all the time. I smile when I came off the field. It's all good. It's all good. I don't know if the dude's saved, but it's like, hey, it ain't the end of the world. And if we could say, Lord, I don't have any conditions. I'll just serve whoever, however you want. I'll wash their feet. I'll do whatever you want. If we had that attitude, boom, instead of coming to church saying, what you going to do for me? This is not about what we do for you. It's about what we do for him. Amen? Amen? So I'm going to ask Marlon and Michelle to come on out. We're going to wash some feet. We're going to wash some feet. Not we, I. Y'all ain't washing nobody's feet. Here they come. Just give them a hand. You guys can take your shoes off and socks. I want you to know that the God of the universe wants to come and serve you. He doesn't want to come and be your good luck charm. He wants to come and bless you and encourage you and cleanse you and do for you what you can't do for you, do for you what you don't deserve, is what I mean by serve. He wants to lift you up and encourage you and give you opportunities to do what you can never imagine. But you have to surrender. He is not going to do that on your terms. It's on his terms. You have to surrender and just trust him. Amen? So when I do this, I want you to imagine this is what God wants to do for you. If me, a sinner, is going to wash these feet, how much more is God, a holy God, going to wash your feet? Amen? Amen. Give me that foot. Amen. Wait. I would say God has a plan for your life bigger than you can imagine. He's already saved your life once, literally. And you're a blessing to me. Thank you for taking care of me every Sunday. Get the other foot. Thank you for washing these feet before you came today. What's up, little girl? And God appreciates how you worship him right there. I saw you last week. And God has a plan for you, young lady. He loves you very much. We got pretty feet people here in church. Bless you. Amen. So here's what God wants to do for you. He wants to wash your feet. He wants to wash your heart. He told Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part in me. What he was telling him, look, you can wash your body, but there's a part of you that only I can wash, and that's your heart. Only I can cleanse your sin. Only I can purify your mind. You cannot do that for you. And if you don't let me do it, we can't walk together. Religion is about, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do it my way with my strength. And I'm going to try to be good. Christianity is where God does it. And you have to let him do it. You can't come to God on your terms. And you can't walk with him on your terms. You have to walk with him on his terms by surrendering to him. We don't want to give up control. And if you don't want to give up control, he's not going to play that game. And so God wants to wash your feet. He wants to cleanse your heart. He wants to cleanse your mind, your thoughts, your relationships, your intention, your dreams. Some of you have dreams that are this big. And God's saying you're thinking too small. I have stuff for you that's going to blow your mind. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, he wants to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ever ask or imagine. Imagine that. You can't imagine it. Imagine. Matter of fact, God gave you an imagination so you can somewhat kind of understand where he's going with your life. Somewhat. He gave you an imagination. If you can imagine something, he goes, I got bigger stuff than that. You remember when you were little, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to play football, I want to play basketball, I want to be the president, and I want to go to the moon. God says, I like that guy. We're going to do something bigger than that. In a minute, we're going to pray, and here's the deal. You could either be like the disciples, you could be like Peter and say, no, I don't want you to wash me, or yes, cleanse me. It's up to you. You could be like Peter who received the ministry that Jesus had for him, or you could be like Judas. What did Judas do? He went through the motions and he ended up hanging himself. He betrayed Christ and he ended up hanging himself. Peter received it and ended up becoming the father of the church. So it's up to you. What do you want to do? Do you want God to do something incredible in your life, or do you want to throw it away and be miserable? I got to believe you want God to do something incredible in your life. And you have to trust him and surrender. So in a minute, we're going to pray. East County, North County, we're going to ask you just to get in a posture of prayer in your heart and prepare your heart to receive what God has for you, because he wants to do something incredible in your life. So right now, I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes on all the campuses, online, everywhere you are. And I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to put your hands on your thighs and point your palms to the ceiling. There's no magic in this. It's just a position of receiving. It's like you're going to receive something. And nothing necessarily is going to be put in your hands. It's like getting on your knees. It's a position of humility and expectation. Dear Lord, we are sitting before you, kneeling before you, asking for your presence, asking for blessing, asking for a miracle in our life and through our life. Dear Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Holy Spirit, I pray you touch us. I pray you fall on us, baptize us, fill this place. Holy Spirit, please make yourself known to us. We know you are. Send angels that are like wind and fire. Our hearts are ready for you. Transform our lives. Use us, Lord. There are people here who want to be used for the miraculous. I pray you empower them, that you encourage them. I pray that you set their mind free to believe that you would actually use them. Give us encouragement and boldness to trust you. If you would like Jesus to wash your feet, cleanse your heart, forgive your sin. If you would like to receive salvation or just spiritual encouragement today, pray this prayer with me. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I trust you. Dear God, I need you. Holy Spirit, I want you. Spirit of God, I want you. I believe Jesus died and rose for me. Jesus, please forgive me. Holy Spirit, rest upon my life. Baptize me with your power and your fire. Take over my life. I surrender. I surrender. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand if you prayed that prayer. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. Lord, we thank you for being good to us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for what you're doing in North County right now. We thank you for what you're doing in East County right now. We thank you for what you're doing all over the world online, because your Spirit is just as much there as he is here. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, I'm just going to ask you right now just to stand to your feet and acknowledge God's forgiveness in your life. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.